You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Top of the hour. Welcome back to Get Up. Brian Custer in for Greeny. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck, Pier 17. Got Dan O. I got Graz here with you. Guys, let's get right to the
upset. You know, if Northwestern wins, you're going to play UConn in round 2 of the basketball tournament?
Yeah, well.
What happened to Kentucky?
We'll find out. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Coach Cal in Kentucky taking on Oakland out of Michigan in the first round. They're the 14th seed. And Jack Golke, boy, he was the man. I'm telling you, the Division II transfer was on fire from three. That three put Oakland up 5 here in the second half. Golke had 10 of them. He had 32 points. A minute to go. Kentucky down 4. Not anymore. Rob Dillingham knocks down that three. Kentucky trails by 1, but Oakland's next possession, 30 seconds left. Rocket White finds DQ Cole dagger. Oakland pulls off the upset, knocks off Kentucky 80-76. They advance to the second round for the first time in program history. Coach Cal, what happened?
This thing here, it's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles and all this stuff, win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement.
You know, Thursday marks the Cats' 4th loss to a double-digit seed since seeding really began in the tournament back in 1979. And 2 of those losses have come in the last 3 tournaments for Coach Cal and company. You know, the Cats, 1-4 in its last 5 NCAA tournament games, tied for its worst 5-game stretch in the tournament in program history. So let's bring in Seth Greenberg, of course, our college basketball analyst, one of the best. What was your takeaway from that loss with Kentucky to Oakland?
The hardest playing team won the basketball game. No doubt about it. The hardest playing, toughest team won that basketball game. And Kentucky, they were not tough enough. And there was a play early in the game, 15-minute mark. Oakland shoots a 3. They got 3 consecutive offensive rebounds. The physicality of Oakland absolutely neutralized the athleticism of this Kentucky basketball team. And then the other team, you got to take away the other team's 2 best players. You know Golke. He's only taken 8 2-point shots all season long. He knocks down 10 threes. You never run him off the 3-point line. And then Ray Townsend, his physicality in the paint. But Golke, you got to defend him with a bigger defender. He just shot over the top of those small defenders. You got to stay on the ground. That's discipline. That's toughness. That's competitive spirit. To me, this Oakland team, they were tougher. They played harder. And then on the other end, the zone. You know, John Calipari talked about the zone, and, you know, they knew it was going to give him problems. That's unacceptable. Really disappointing. Now, Cal's got a young team. That's true. But they had enough older guys in this game. They had to match the physicality and the toughness of that Oakland team. And you got to tip your hat to this Oakland team because you know what? They came in ready to not play, but ready to win. They had a game plan, and they stuck to their game plan. They took the game to Kentucky. The standard of Kentucky right now obviously is in question, but you see these plays. That's just a loose ball turnover, an unforced turnover. That's out of character for Kentucky. But there is a bigger problem. We're going to talk about that later.
Well, you know, 2012, if I'm not mistaken, last time they've won the national title. And all the people in the Commonwealth are on the uproar right now because of the lack of success. Listen, they didn't win an SEC tournament game this season. Obviously, they get knocked out in the first round. What do you think about the future of Coach Cal?
Coach Cal needs to be the coach at Kentucky, but he's got to get back to old school Coach Cal. Right now, he's Swaggy Cal. Swaggy Cal, you know what? They had no defensive identity this year. They didn't compete at the level that his UMass teams competed at, his Memphis teams competed at, his Kentucky early teams competed at. Old school Cal he drew a line of sand every single game. Old school Cal, they rebounded. Old school Cal, they defended. Old school Cal, they were physical. Old school Cal, they had a chip on their shoulder. This team doesn't have that DNA. They didn't have that toughness that the really good John Calipari teams had. Swaggy Cal's great. It sounds good for a recruit. We're going to play freed up. We're going to let you do what you need to do. They need to get back to the foundation and the standard of Kentucky basketball, and that's built with toughness and physicality.
Let's talk about another blue blood last night that came close to getting upset. How about Kansas? They held on against Samford thanks to this foul called on A.J. Stanton-McCray when he attempted to block that dunk by Nick's Timberlake. And Samford really could have gotten the ball back down one, just 14 seconds to go. Instead, you know, the Jayhawks extended their lead. They go on and win this game 93-89. Give me your reaction to the call.
They called the fall and not the foul because it wasn't a foul. So they called the fall. They called Timberlake's violent fall to the ground. Great block, great effort, great rundown. Everything you would want a player to do, the Samford player did. Here's the problem. Watch the play. That's a clean block. Watch how violently he falls to the ground. The official behind the play, he's calling the fall and not the foul. There's no contact on that. You know, Timberlake could say there was a foul. No, there wasn't. They called that. They called the violent way in which he hit the ground. You know, look. Here's the thing I think in the NCAA tournament needs to do and college basketball needs to do, just like in the NBA. The officials need to be held accountable. They need to have a report at the end of the game.
That's a good point. Seth Greenberg, appreciate the insight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's get to our other top story of the day. It's Pro Day, and it is a big one for Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. He's one of the hot drive prospect teams are interested in moving up for, but just how high will they move up? Cardinals GM was asked whether he'd consider trading out the fourth overall pick.
There'll be a big neon sign that says open, and we'll I don't like it blinking. That kind of messes with my eyes, but yeah, we're always going to be listening. You know, I think, you know, we'll always have the conversation. You know, we may not get to a point where the deal makes sense, whether it's at four or anywhere we're picking.
All right, got all the guys here. Let's talk about this. What are you hearing about the level of interest in that fourth order?
I really think it's going to depend on how the first three picks go. So you may not – I mean, Monty Osifor is doing what he's supposed to do. He's got the fourth pick in the draft, and he doesn't need a quarterback. Like, he's in a great spot.
Sure.
They could sit tight, take Marvin Harrison Jr., and be thrilled with that for the rest of his entire career. Or if somebody gives him a ridiculous offer, right? Because they want to come up and take whoever the quarterback is that's left after the top three. Let's say that's J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. Then they got to listen. And I think it obviously behooves them for teams to know that, like, yes, I'm open to taking that call. Sure, teams would probably make it anyway. But I think if you're Monty Osifor, this is where you have to live right now, because your hope is that someone gives you an offer that is absolutely a ridiculous overpay and you amass more picks. You don't have to go back too far, still get an impact player, and that would be the ideal situation.
You said something interesting, J.J. McCarthy. All of a sudden, this name has really exploded and people are talking about moving up to get J.J. McCarthy. Not Drake Mayer, as we were talking about before, is J.J. McCarthy.
Rightfully so. Okay, so let's have the conversation about J.J. McCarthy. One, he's the most consistent quarterback in this draft, in my opinion. Now, is he the most talented? No. And anybody that says, oh my gosh, he doesn't have top five pick talent, you really haven't watched him play then that much. If we're looking at Michigan, when you watch his tape, certain style of offense Harbaugh wanted to play, they ran the ball a ton. So there are games where JJ's not asked to do a ton. He was the best quarterback in college football last year on third downs. Okay, so third down and 7+, when everybody on the defense knows Michigan is throwing the football, he was best guy in college football. So while he wasn't maybe asked to do as much as a Caleb or a Jaden, when the money's on the line and, like, we got to go make plays, he was fantastic. I would tell you he controlled the line of scrimmage, both in the pass game with protection and in the run game, more than any quarterback in this draft. He's got unbelievable feet in the pocket. When you say what quarterbacks are perfect for Minnesota and the Vikings to go play right now, I would tell you number one, it would be Jaden Daniels from LSU. Number two would be J.J. McCarthy. He would walk in and play at a high level there. And the last thing I'm going to say about him is this. When number one is open, now caveat, I get it, you got to get through two and three in the NFL. When number one is open, it is flawless, man. When that number one receiver gets dialed open, which is perfect for Minnesota, he is flawless. And so I think today's pro day, teams are going to watch him throw and be like, yep, that's what it looks like. And it won't be surprising when he goes top five.
Neek, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of the Vikings moving up because they have a really good situation. The defense needs some help, but a lot of the pieces on the offense are there for a young quarterback. But if I'm the Cardinals, like I understand as a general manager, you want this is your time of year. You want to make all the right deals. You want to maximize all the assets, the value of all the assets you have. But let's not overthink it, man. Marvin Harrison is one of the best receivers that we've seen come out of the draft in a long time. And I know this year's receiver draft class is stocked and these other guys are really good also, but there's something about Marvin Harrison that I think is really special and he can change your offense. He can be almost as impactful as a quarterback on a rookie deal. You have a receiver like this that can do just about everything on a rookie deal for an extended period of time. So Monty Osborne certainly has to do his job and listen to all these offers, but somebody better go crazy to get me to come up off of this guy with future Hall of Famer type talent and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Marty, I know you've moved up in the draft in the past. What are your thoughts on Arizona with that fourth overall pick and hearing what Dano had to say about J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, first from the Arizona standpoint, being blown away means a first-round pick next year, and they did a great job. They traded to get another first-round pick this year with Houston. They just didn't realize C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans were going to do great jobs as rookie in their respective positions. So, to me, I would trade back. I love Marvin Harrison, but if one of those groups of teams from, you know, Minnesota, Saints, Denver, obviously if the Giants try to move up a little bit, I would try to squeeze a first-round pick out of next year. And then as it relates to J.J. McCarthy, I agree with Dano. I've been to a lot of their games and practices, and at the most consequential moments, J.J. McCarthy played great. You go back to 2022 against Illinois, they're getting beat at home against a really rugged defense, fourth-quarter drive, game-winning field goal. Go to the Alabama semifinal game, getting beat late in the game, brings him down for the game-winning score. So there's a lot of things he does well, and I keep saying, like, imagine what he would do in LSU's offense. Not saying it would be just like Jaden Daniels, but the narrative around him would be dramatically different. So I think he's ready, made, lost one game in college, obviously really well coached by Jim Harbaugh, and I fully expect him to go in the top five.
Yeah, J.J.'s going to get overdrafted. He is. That's just what happens in the NFL when you have young, talented players. I would say this for his pro day today. The one flaw, or the biggest flaw, I think, in J.J.'s game is, like this throw, everything is ripped. I mean, everything is on a line. I would like to see and challenge him, show me some touch throws. Show me some throws that have a little bit of love on them rather than, you know, 20 yards and absolutely on a missile, because everything so often is a fastball for him. That's what you want to see in his pro today, is a little bit more advancement with his game when it comes to that.
Real quick, Neek, do you think that that's a player that, let's say, like the Giants need to go up and go get?
No, I mean, the Giants are right there. If the Cardinals go ahead and draft Marvin Harrison, obviously the Chargers aren't going to get a quarterback. He'll fall to them, and then they'll have a decision to make. But I don't feel like the Giants are ready for a quarterback right now. And we've seen it time and time again. Quarterbacks that are highly drafted into bad situations don't tend to work out. So whether J.J. McCarthy is really good or great, you got to be all-time level great to fall into a bad situation and make it turn out and make it make it work for you and that team. So the Giants have a lot of roster construction issues that they need to address before I'd be interested in looking at a top-level quarterback like J.J. McCarthy.
Well, I know one guy everybody wants. How about Caleb Williams? Coming up, Caleb Williams, can he instantly turn the Bears into contenders? And is Chicago set up really for success for years to come? We'll break that down. And, hey, the Cowboys, it's been a really quiet offseason for them, but they've also raised some eyebrows. Could all the Dak drama been avoided? We got the answer on that. That's next. You're on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Come on, get up! I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering this. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
What's the question?
Next.
What's the question?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Next question.
Next question. Next question.
That's a BS question, man.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
One of our favorite segments here. Answer the question, Neek. Who will be the Steelers quarterback at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think it's Justin Fields. I understand that Russell Wilson has a lot of experience, and if you're looking for a safer option, he showed last year that he can be that game manager that he was early in his career. But I think if the Steelers are looking to make a run in the playoffs, you're going to need to have a high ceiling. And it might take some growing pains because Justin Fields' development was thwarted a bit in Chicago because of what they had around him and the revolving door coach. But I think in a stable situation like Pittsburgh, it's possible that Justin Fields can reach the ceiling that we all see that he has.
All right, let's stay in the AFC North. Will Derrick Henry, you think, put the Ravens in the Super Bowl next season?
Oh, yeah, Derrick Henry's a great player to have, but I don't think their issue was being able to run the ball. I think he's going to help take some of the pressure to run the ball off of Lamar Jackson, but as Graz mentioned earlier in the show, they need to address some of the holes that they now have on their offensive line and pieces on their defense. Patrick Queen's going to be out of there, and they also lost out on their defensive coordinator, who was one of the most exciting Seahawks this past offseason. So replacing that, I think, is more important than further solidifying that already kind of talented rushing attack.
All right, let's finish in the NFC. In Chicago with Caleb Williams, you think he will lead the Bears to the playoffs in his rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to ask. We saw CJ Stroud do it last year. It's happened before, but normally it's really tough, especially at the number one spot, because the team that you're going to is at the number one spot for a reason. But that's different. The Bears traded with the Panthers last year, so right now they're a really talented team. They ended up winning 7 games last year with a really defensive-minded head coach and a lot of talent on their offense already, and still another first-round pick after they get Caleb Williams, what we assume they'll draft in number one. So this team, despite the fact they're in a division with some talented teams, has a good chance in the NFC, which overall is not all that tough. They have a good chance of making it to the top 7 on the NFC side.
All right. You heard, Neek. What do you think?
So if the Bears take Caleb Williams, number one, there's 2 reasons why it will fail. Number one, Caleb is unwilling to play within structure more than he did in college. He's capable of it, and there are moments of it, but in the NFL, it's demanded more. Number two, the personality doesn't mesh into the NFL locker room. The personality doesn't mesh into the Chicago Bears locker room. And I guess the characteristics of Caleb, I'm not making any assumption. I don't know the young man, but those would be the only 2 reasons it'll fail. This was the top defense in the NFL the last 8 games of the season last year. They got an above-average offensive line. They got a back off of his best season in his NFL career in DeAndre Swift. They got 2 receivers that combined went for over 200 catches last year and 2,500 yards. They got 2 top 10 picks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the young man is wildly talented physically.
Yeah.
So the only reason it fails is if the personality just doesn't mesh or he's not ready to take on that CEO of the billion-dollar company, number one pick expectation, or the constant chasing of the big play leads to negative plays and bad plays, and it holds his and his team's back.
Mike T, I know you went up. You got a USC quarterback back in the day. Do you think that the Bears will make the playoffs with Caleb Williams?
They could. They just need to make progress. Look, we were really fortunate. We went to back-to-back championship games with a really young quarterback. But the key was Rex Ryan did a great job as a defensive-minded head coach. And Dano just laid out the concerns. That's Matt Eberflus's job to address them and put Caleb Williams in a chance to be successful. He does not need 40 attempts per game, especially early on. Lean on DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, a really good offensive line. They just added another good center in Coleman Shelton. So to me, you have to manage Caleb Williams and the locker room. And that dynamic, Brian, is you don't need to be Patrick Mahomes on opening day. Your job is to make first downs. And when you do that, success builds on it. And if that's the mindset, he has a real chance to be a great quarterback. But it's Chicago. It's the first pick overall. The expectations are going to be huge. And it's up to Matt Eberflus to create the right environment on the field and off the field, including game planning, to make sure that Caleb Williams can walk before he runs.
And that's why what the Bears did this week was so interesting. Like, the part of the pro day that's on TV is a minor aspect of what Chicago – they spent 3 days with Caleb Williams in Los Angeles this week. They didn't just show up, watch him throw 50 balls, and then leave. They took him out to dinner with some of his USC teammates. They wanted to get a sense of how he interacted with them. They went to a spring practice with him. They wanted to spend time around him, get him on the whiteboard and all that kind of stuff and quiz him. So it was about finding out more about who the guy is. They'll also have him in for a visit, as they will with a lot of the potential top picks. But the Bears want to make sure that fit is right.
And to Mike T's point, that is one of the hardest things to do to a young, talented quarterback. It's necessary. I think it's one of the hardest things to do to any quarterback. And you prefer to try to rein them in rather than, hey, can we make this guy who's a good player into this ultra athlete and creative guy? So it's more likely that you want I got to rein you in a little bit. But for a young player that went to Oklahoma and splashed right away with his physical ability and talent and then goes to USC and, for 2 years thinks, I'm the best player on the field. I got to go make big plays. My defense is going to give up 50 every single game. The only shot we have to win. And I think Caleb's ultra competitive. That's why we see some of the emotion. I got to go make big plays. So you got to unbreak that mentality. And that's going to be the challenge for the Bears. I agree with the Sanchez thing. It's a little bit like Big Ben. Big Ben was at Miami of Ohio, and he was best player on the field all the time. So it's like, hey, I'm going to go do whatever I want. And the Steelers is rookie year. They threw the ball 18 to 20 times. They rode the defense. They ran the football. And that kind of controlled him and governed him. I think if the Bears do take Caleb at one, it's got to be similar philosophy.
Nick, give you the last word on this. Being a vet, what advice would you give to someone like Caleb Williams if you were in that Bears locker room and he walked in and he has this so-called Hollywood persona?
Ball. That's all you can do is play well. All of a sudden, all the things that you do they're viewed through the eyes of your performance on the field. If you are cocky and you ball out, then people think it's cool. If you're humble and you ball out, then people think it's cool. Throw a lot of touchdowns and not a lot of interceptions. And that's a lot of pressure on Shane Waldron, I think, the offensive coordinator there, understanding how to bring the quarterback into the situation.
Yeah. I wish I would have known that.
It would have been different.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be sitting here.
Coming up, hey, the Cowboys, boy, they've had themselves a quiet offseason, but they have certainly raised some eyebrows as well, especially when you talk about the Dak drama. Could have been avoided. We got the answer. That's next. Plus, much more on Kentucky's stunning loss. Will there be another major upset today? Jeff Greenberg, he's got the answers. Our question is next on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's.
All right, back to the upset of the night. Oakland shocks Kentucky thanks to Jack Golke's 10 three-pointers. And Coach Calipari now 1-4 in his last five NCAA tournament games. The Grizzlies, they move on. Coach Cal explaining the loss.
Yeah, I've lost tough games before, and we've won some really buzzer beater games, pulling game. I mean, I've been through everything in my career. So, but this is one that's like, man.
All right, back here with the coach, Seth Greenberg. All right, you heard Coach Cal. What does this current loss, you think, say about Coach Cal's future and Kentucky's ability to win a national championship?
Coach Cal is the coach at University of Kentucky, and he can win a national championship. He's got to restructure his roster. You can't just live and die with freshmen. You've got to have older players. The O-line, get old and stay old. All right, they've got to recruit to old as well. They're going to recruit the best players in the country. And they've got a great recruiting class coming in. But they've got to complement those guys with tougher, more physical, more mature players. And then he's got to go back to old school Cal. Old school Cal, where your team played with a chip on his shoulder. You were built on the defensive end. You had a toughness about you. Swaggy Cal is great, but old school Cal gets to the Final Four and competes for national championships.
Okay, we'll see what Kentucky can do. It seems like everyone else is jumping into the transfer portal and getting players. Let's talk about some superlatives, Coach. Give me a potential Cinderella pick you think that could make it to the Sweet 16.
I think it's New Mexico. You look at this New Mexico team, they're built for the NCAA tournament. Terrific guard play. They turn you over. They don't turn it over. They rebound the basketball. They keep you off the glass. Donovan Dent is a big point guard that can make plays. You got Eddie House, Jalen House, the guard who's a tough defender. To me, I look, you got little Mashburn who can really score it. This is a team that can make a deep run, coached by Richard Pitino, not Rick Pitino. New Mexico can get to the Sweet 16.
We've already seen the number three seed go down. Give me, in your opinion, the first number one seed you think that will go down.
Don't you do
I
it.
I think it's going to be Houston. And a lot has to do with their matchup because potentially Houston could play Texas A&M in the second round if Texas A&M wins. You're talking about a Houston team that scores about 33 points a game off their defense and second chance points. They're matched up with Texas A&M. Texas A&M is the best offensive rebounding team in college basketball. So it takes away one of the Houston strengths. The other thing Texas A&M has, they got terrific guard play. They'll take care of the basketball. So to me, when I look at Houston, I see Texas A&M as a potential problem in the second round. I'll tell you the other thing. You know what the other superlative is? Coach Campy, Coach Dambrot taking Duquesne and Oakland to the second round. Two 40-year coaches, two lifers having their moment. We have to tip our caps to both Coach Campy and Coach Dambrot. What great careers and what outstanding, incredible moments they had yesterday.
Well, I'm happy you brought them up because you talk about Oakland, you talk about Duquesne. Give me another potential bracket buster, you think, from today's slate of games.
Well, you know, okay, I think the biggest bracket buster for me is this Texas A&M team. You're talking about Texas A&M. It's an 8-9 game, I understand that, but Texas A&M, dynamic guard play. You know, you're talking about two guards that can get in the lane, make plays. Wade Taylor was the preseason SEC player of the year. Boots Radford is a dynamic left-hander, gets to the rim and plays downhill. And then a missed shot is their best offense. They are relentless. They play violent basketball at the rim. So if you can defend and disrupt, you can rebound, and you have dynamic guard play, that is absolutely the formula to advance in the NCAA tournament.
Texas A&M, we'll keep our eyes on them. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
By the way, the NCAA Women's Championship first round, it begins today. You got Maine, Ohio State, that's at noon, followed by undefeated South Carolina Presbyterian. And then you've got Rice, they're squaring off against Angel Reese and LSU. And all the games, folks, are available on the ESPN app. Back to football. Time for a game of fact or fiction. Mike T, Justin Fields, best QB in Pittsburgh. Is that fact or fiction?
That's an overwhelming fact. He is only 25 years old. His best days are in front of him. I think he'll beat out Russell Wilson, Brian, much sooner than later. I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. And I think he has a reasonable chance, Brian, to be a quarterback there for a long time. I think he's ideal with Arthur Smith, the new offense coordinator.
Roz, Dan O says Saquon to the Eagles, one of the best offseason moves. So does that make the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Fact or fiction?
I'm going with fiction here, mainly because I think the 49ers still deserve to be considered the best team in the NFC. And I think the competition for that spot is heating up. The Eagles, you know, they have a lot to do to recover from the way their season ended. They have new coordinators again. We'll see how that works out. And they need better production on the defensive side of the ball from their young players.
All right, Dan O. Dak's extension is holding my Cowboys back. Is that fact or fiction?
Well, that's a fact. I mean, the Cowboys were inactive in free agency in part because of the $60 million, now $55 million potential cap hit. Now, I know there's the we have to pay CeeDee Lamb, we have to pay Micah Parsons reality for them as well. But the number for the salary quarterback-wise is just exponentially higher than it, you know, needs to be given how many starters are missing from this football team right now. And I think that's going to be the reason why there's so much unknown and hesitation about who Dallas is going to be next year, because they got holes on their football team. And right now, through really the majority of free agency, they're incapable of filling them.
All right, so Graz, give me a timeline on a Dak potential extension.
Well, it could happen any time really in the next year, right? Like the deadline really is the last day of the league year, so like March 13th of next year, because that's when the remaining years of his contract will void, and they'll be stuck with a $40 million dead money charge on next year's cap, and he won't even be on the team. So they could do an extension now, and they could save cap room this year by doing one, but it would also just add to that big dead money charge that's sitting there on the cap for next year. So I think they know they can go into the contract, convert salary to bonus, and get some relief there if they need to. But I think the Cowboys, who already restructured $5 million worth of roster bonus, I think they would rather not do that and see if they can operate the rest of their offseason. Not restructure and add money to future years. I think they'd prefer, if they can, to carry the cap hit this year. It's going to be tough, but it's not impossible given where the cap went.
Am I right to assume then that you're saying they would prefer to just have him play this last year on the deal?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if they could get to an extension, they would do it. But if they don't, I don't think they're going to do the restructure just to save cap space this year. You say it's holding them back. I guess my question would be, from what? Like, they never do anything in free agency.
I mean,
they prefer the.
I mean, maybe they don't make big moves in free agency, but they didn't do anything.
Well, it's not over.
But, Graz, they have five starters. They're down five starters. They only got four picks in the top five rounds.
Yeah. I hear you.
You do the math.
But they're still guys. I mean, last year they were making trades at this point for, like, Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks. Like, you can still find guys after the first two or three days of free agency.
Of course, but we're 3 weeks in. So, yeah. I mean, let's see how many guys are available to potentially make trades on. Steph is still.
My point is, I'm not sure what else they would have been doing if Dak's cap number was $10 million instead of $55.
And you have the feeling that they should have moved on from Dak.
I said it the day after the Green Bay game. I would have moved on from everyone, though. I mean, at some point, you realize this version is as good as we are going to be. And part of it was knowing what was down the line financially. Part of it was knowing, understanding the $60 million cap hit. And in sitting there going, okay, well, he's a good quarterback. He's had moments of really good quarterback play. But we, for some reason, as a team, can't get past who we have to get past to achieve the ultimate goal. If they were serious about winning Super Bowls, was there, and I know there's a no-trade clause in his contract, but players waive no-trade clause for certain situations. Is there a way where they could have moved on from Mike McCarthy, traded Dak Prescott, regained assets, and built the football team up and maybe got a different player at quarterback that did different things in different situations, Bri? Like, I think that's the reality of who the Cowboys are. They've in many ways, peaked this version.
Nick, I saw you shaking your head.
Because I thought he said move on from everybody. Like, that, if that isn't the biggest knee-jerk overreaction. Like, Dan's been on point all day. You almost made it through an entire two-hour show without saying anything ridiculous. I was proud of you and agreeing with you. And now you said move on from everybody? Because you lost a playoff game? Like, let's cool it. They're on the doorstep of winning a championship. I'm not saying that they can't improve. But the idea that because they got upset in a game last year that they didn't need to move on from everybody, and obviously the quarterback, the hardest position to fill, they've been fortunate to go from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott. And before that, they were in the wilderness. So I'm not sure they want to go back to that place. And we all understand how important that position is. But you said everybody. You didn't just say Dak. You're talking about restart the whole organization, like CD, Micah, everybody, get them out. We starting
no, over. No. I didn't imply CD and Micah. I kind of implied head coach and quarterback. Okay. Two things, Dom. They're not on the doorstep of a championship because their football team roster-wise is worse than the one we've seen win three seasons of 12 straight games. That's the reality. The talent has left. And not all of it, but some of it. And the second thing is they didn't lose. They got absolutely demolished. They didn't even show up, both like play-wise and preparation-wise.
Mike T, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, they have a really good problem to have, which is Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, they all need extensions. That's going to be a massive amount of their cap allocation. So I understand why they're sort of holding serve. Now, look, do I think, don't go Derrick Henry, maybe A.J. Dillon. Absolutely, maybe around the edges, but the core of this team, I'm with Nick on this, 12 games a year, the last 3 years, that's really hard to do. And the only way, Brian, at the end of the day, you're going to have meaningful leverage with Dak Prescott the way they did with Tony Romo, sort of pass the torches, go draft Spencer Rattler in the second or third round and develop the next guy, because until you have a meaningful replacement, Dak Prescott has really like unlimited leverage because he is a winning NFL quarterback, and the alternative for most teams isn't pretty. So that's really the only way they're going to gain leverage. And look, they're going to have to draft an offensive lineman in round one. We know that. But beyond that, look for a quarterback, and that's the way you could turn the tide.
Have we forgotten that they have Trey Lance there? Remember when they got Trey Lance? Everybody was like, will he eventually take over Dak Prescott? And now you guys are talking about
Trey Lance hasn't played football like consistently in like 5 years. I mean,
that was just a flyer. Like they took a flyer on a young, talented guy, and if he shows something, then maybe down the road. But no, they're not thinking of him as the successor.
And the leverage has held them back. I mean, there is the truth, Mike T. You know this, Graz. Like he's got unbelievable leverage. Dak does. That's a credit to Dak and his team. But they got five starting positions that they don't have on their football team right now.
We were talking about drafting people. Coming up, it's a huge day for J.J. McCarthy, whose draft stock is on the rise. Dan Orlovsky heading to the touchscreen to show us why McCarthy could be really a huge success in the NFL. But first, it's time for Sneaky Bees, and this is for Graz. Who is the last Michigan offensive skill player taken in the first round of the NFL draft? The answer.
You are watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your women's brackets now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back for some trivia, Sneaky B and Graz here. So the question,
Last Michigan offensive skill player, talking quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, taken in the first round of the NFL draft.
Orlovsky always says it's easy.
Yeah, he doesn't
usually get it right, but the last time I was here, he did have it
okay.
right. Yeah, so no, you didn't. You were wrong.
I did.
You had,
no,
you had Johnny right. Unitas on the Steelers.
Which was correct.
It was?
Yeah.
All right. I don't
Who
think
you
it
got?
Was. I was trying to go back to the running backs like Tyrone Wheatley and Tim Biakabatuka, but I feel like there must be somebody more recent. The name Braylon Edwards is standing out to me. Braylon Edwards.
He's got it.
First round pick from Michigan.
Got it. He's got it. Braylon Edwards. 2005. You're right.
I disagree.
Braylon
that
it was
Edwards.
Easy.
It was Braylon easy. Edwards. Mike team like, I know. I had that guy.
Chad Henne was a quarterback. Second round pick. Manningham was the second round pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about
Edwards.
You?
All
Once
right.
again. Look at Mike team. Like, that was my guy.
That's
I had
I made the pick. All right.
Speaking of Michigan skill players, let's talk quarterback because national champion quarterback J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan Wolverines hosting their NFL Pro Day. That's today. Mel Kiper Jr. ranks McCarthy fourth overall quarterback prospect in this year's draft. 10 different teams have coaches or GMs on hand for today's workout. All right, Dan, so I want you to take us through which part of McCarthy's game you think will be transferable to the NFL?
Yeah, he's in many ways the Terminator in the pocket. And I think mechanically, the consistency that he plays with is such a big deal. So against Rutgers defensively, you're going to get Roman Wilson coming down in motion. He's going to run a deep crossing route. Now, when he comes on this deep crossing route, this defender is going to trail him in man coverage. So the ball placement has to be paramount. In man coverage, you got to be able to throw guys away from that defender. Now, as a pocket passer who McCarthy is, mechanically you have to be sound to be able to throw that ball exactly where you want to do. He's going to do a fantastic job. And I want everyone to see the 1-2-3 in his drop, and then you're going to see a subtle hitch. You got to play on time versus man coverage. That ball is going to be placed perfectly out front to Roman Wilson. Now, the back angle shows there's such little nuance to why he's the Terminator in the pocket that matters the most. Rutgers is going to bring a little bit of a defensive stunt. Now, before you see the drop, I want everyone at home, really pay attention to where JJ is, okay? He's in between number 77, number 60. That's his starting point and where his drop, if it was on paper, you would align to. Now, pay attention to where he starts and then where he finishes. Now, the challenge is when Rutgers brings this stunt, okay, you're going to see that defensive lineman wrap. Michigan's going to try to pick it off. Now, if JJ stays in this spot, which he's repped with this drop so often, that defender is going to make that pocket muddy and impact that throw. But also, you have to still play on time and in rhythm. Man coverage, that defender is going to be trailing there. You can't take forever, okay? Watch the subtlety of his movement. He's going to start here and slowly, with one step, move over to make sure that he has operational space to make this throw. Now watch. You're going to see this, okay? This moment right here is where he's going to shift his body one step over as Roman Wilson's running that crosser, but also stay on time. It can't be two hitches. It has to only be one. Watch this out of JJ. Gets in that hitch. Now, this is what I love about it. Roman Wilson's running that way. His body is perfectly aligned to throw that ball out this way, while also, remember, I told you guys, he had to get away from that defender. If JJ stayed in plane, that defender ruins that pass. But just the subtlety of the movement gets him away while also aligning his body to make that throw to a crossing wide receiver versus man coverage. And look at that throw. It's absolutely perfect. If it's a yard behind him, that ball is going to be broken up. The consistency in how McCarthy does that and the training in how he does that, you can watch that and go, that's real life NFL football, muddy pocket. You got to be able to move just subtlety away from a defender, but also still make that throw on time, on rhythm, and on placement.
Listen, being from Columbus, it hurts me to say this.
Sure.
About him. I mean, 3 Big Ten championships, 27-1 as a starter. He's had the best winning percentage of an FBS quarterback over the last 50 years.
He's a good player, man.
The kid is a winner. I guess my question, though, Mike T, how important are these pro days?
Well, it's a small piece to the pie. Dan did a great job breaking things down there with all the film that he has, and I would add, how productive he is on third down. I think he's checked every box, and I'm not saying it was as good as C.J. Stroud, but his workout at the combine was excellent. And again, his competitors didn't work out. So I think today he's just checking another box. It's a lot easier to do it today in Ann Arbor than it was in Indianapolis a month ago. So I think the trajectory is top five, and I'd be really surprised if he wasn't the fourth quarterback in the top five in next month's draft.
Roz, when you talk to people, is that what you're hearing? Well, yeah, you hear a lot. Look, it is a tough time of year to figure out what's true.
What's true?
Right? Like, I do believe there is a high level of interest in J.J. McCarthy. I don't know whether someone will move up into the top five to get him. I don't know whether someone will have to move up into the top five to get him. We'll find all that out. We still have 5 weeks until the draft. But look, it's all about subterfuge. Like, one of the biggest teams we think is a candidate to move up and take a quarterback is the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Their head coach and GM are not in Ann Arbor today.
Yeah.
But they do plan to work out J.J. McCarthy, give him a private workout at some point in the next couple of weeks. So the pro day, you know, is a part of it, but I think it really is about where can you find out the most about this player. And I think, you know, if you're the Vikings and you're thinking about trading up, then maybe a private workout makes more sense. The question, of course, is do you have to trade up? And if so, how far?
Nick, do you think teams should be trading up to go get J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think it's a rush normally to trade up to get a quarterback. I think what's more important, and Dan's tape was awesome. I don't think that tapes like that show why a player is going to succeed or fail. It shows how to succeed or fail with that player at the next level. There's no quarterbacks drafted in the first round that aren't good enough to succeed in NFL. That's why they're drafted in the first round. What determines their success is some of the soft skills that they have, their development of that, and the situation that they're in. They have smart coaches and they have talent around them, and it gives them time to develop, then they'll be good. So I have no question that J.J. McCarthy and all the rest of the quarterbacks that we're talking about in the first round can be successful in the next level. The question is, will they? And that'll be based on what's inside of them and what's around them more than what we see on their tape, and certainly more than what we see at their pro day.
I love the way that Dom just phrased that. And that's what makes McCarthy like probably the most interesting guy in this draft class is, and I think it's fair because I think Ryan Clark texted us about this for NFL Live, like what pops out at JJ's tape. And I don't know if there's anything physically with J.J. McCarthy that you go, oh my gosh, he's got this unbelievable athleticism or size or, right, you know, jaw-dropping playmaking ability. But to Dom's point, they're all talented. I say this all the time. The quarterbacks that get drafted early in the NFL draft are drafted because they're super talented. They fail because they don't fix their flaws, their fatal flaws. I don't find a lot of flaw in J.J. McCarthy's game. And I think that is a huge part why teams are so drawn to him.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Of course, his pro day is today. Hey, don't forget, First Take is coming up next. Has John Calipari underachieved at Kentucky? Would a national championship make Caitlin Clark the GOAT? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Dan O., Seth, Andrea, at the top of the hour.
Let's go, UConn.
The number one Women's March Madness bracket game is back. It's free to play, and filling out your bracket has never been easier. Just pick your favorite teams or use one of our autofill tools to help you fill out as many as 25 different brackets with ease. Whether you're a college hoops expert or just looking to join in on the madness, now's the time to get started. Tip-off is today. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app or visit ESPN.com/TCWomen to fill out your brackets before it's too late.
Always a lot of fun doing this show, and we really see it as a privilege, you starting your day with us every morning. What are UConn going to do today?
Beat the doors off of that.
Thanks for watching. First Take is next.